Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. We have just found out that our text machine is broken. So we won't be getting your text today. I would like to say we're certainly getting your email still. So if you have something to share, look, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you're going through. We want your comments on the show. We love the texts. And so an alternate way to stay with us and to continue to make your contributions is to send emails to Sarah or Vinny at RadioAlice.com, Bryn at RadioAlice.com. You can use any of the names that are on the show. And those will, I guess, Nicole will get those centrally and you can disperse them. Oh, you get them at home too? You can get the RadioAlice.com ones? Great.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Nicole, can you get them?
She's saying yeah. So Sarah, Vinny, Bryn, B-R-Y-N, Sarah with an H, Vinny with an I-E. Please send your thoughts to RadioAlice.com. Boom.
Boom.
I'm done.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by Radio.com. Radio.com is an app. You get the app, and then you can put on this show and bring us anywhere you go through
all
your
our podcasts,
phone.
Podcasts, everything.
Right, absolutely. So get radio.com. Also, make sure to post how you are practicing social distancing to your social media and use hashtag stay connected so that we can stay in the loop with you.
Yeah, I'm trying to use that too. I've never really used hashtags before.
Yeah, it's never been my thing. I'm usually happy to get a pickup and then I feel like, hey,
I did it.
Right.
Turns out there's all these other things you can do with Instagram. I never knew.
Well, I really like Instagram and I love seeing my friends' posts and I do appreciate the likes. I absolutely look at it and go, oh, I'm so happy that, you know, people are seeing this stuff and liking it, whatever. So I'm not saying I don't appreciate Instagram. I just don't really want to be pro. I'm not trying to go pro at Instagram.
I'm trying to go pro.
Well, I clearly.
I feel like I might as well learn a new skill while I'm stuck here.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with amateur status. But either way, I still do appreciate it. And hashtag stay connected is one way we can see your posts. All right. So here's what's happening. And I've got a couple good news things for you. I could easily just read the death count, but that's not any good.
You can get that anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You can only get our special sauce here.
The hospitalization rate for coronavirus has slowed down somewhat in New York.
Oh.
According to the governor there, Andrew Cuomo, he's saying it's a very good and positive sign that social distancing can and is working in one of our country's densest cities.
Right, the hot spots.
Uh-huh. So that is a positive sign that there's some hospitalization rate slowdown. And they're really pointing to social distancing as the way that this is going to be slowed or stopped. So,
and more states are jumping on this bandwagon too, as cases are popping up. I mean, it's like we felt like, oh boy, did we go in a week too late?
Well,
and so far for us, I mean, knock wood, we're healthy, so maybe we made it in time. But it's the sooner the better.
I'm trying not to, because I do understand people in politics have to sort of walk a a line between doing the right thing for the general public, but also staying electable, because most people don't want to hear bad news. So a politician who comes right out and says, "It's coming, run for your lives," that doesn't always go over well.
Right.
That said, I also feel extremely frustrated that we weren't told by our leaders sooner to get with the program. Like, there were windows where if we were going to end up here anyway, we could have done it sooner and maybe
stamped it out
and seen less trouble from it.
You know, do you feel like we'll have learned from this? Like, if this happens again next year, or if this happens with some other thing, you know, hopefully not some worse thing, that we'll all be like, okay, this is what we did, this is the protocol, and we'll have learned from it. At least there's that.
Yeah, as a society, I think one of the things we'll learn from it is, especially if we find ourselves back outside again, which many of us haven't, on the other side of it, people will feel like, oh, you do what you're supposed to, and then life goes on.
Right.
You know, many people right now are still feeling that I haven't left the house in a week or two, and I don't know when this will end. So that no light at the end of the tunnel is, I don't know, frightening.
It's incredibly frightening. I mean, we're on what did they say? It was a 3-week lockdown here. And that's, I mean, people are, don't get your hopes up that it's over at the end of the 3 weeks. I mean, it doesn't seem like that's going to happen if the cases continue to happen.
Right.
But yeah, and I think that there's going to be a whole new normal. Like, are you going to run right out to a festival? Are you going to run right out and start hugging people and shaking hands again?
No, but I do look forward to getting out, and I do want to be one of the people who steps out and goes and enjoys specifically a concert. Yeah, I'd love to go see a show. So I don't know when I'll feel safe with that, but I hope to do that again as soon as possible. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, you know, I think there'll be a new normal for a while. But then, like everything, you know, we have short attention spans. And once life starts to feel somewhat normal again, you know, we'll go back to our old ways.
Well, right. I want to say it was yesterday, we were doing a story about how, will this change the way the world interacts? And I thought, well, we've had other worldwide events, and then turned right back to basically despicable behavior as soon as we could.
Right.
So
that's what we like.
I do see short-term positive results from this, as we're all, as they say, in this boat together.
Yep.
But in the long term, no, I don't see much of a super big change.
But
Ben Bernanke. You may remember this name. Ben Bernanke is a former chairman of the Federal Reserve, so he's an econ guy.
Yeah.
And he says, our current situation is very different from the Great Depression, as you may have heard that brought up. Also, references to the 08 economy meltdown. He is saying, quote, he expects to see a fairly quick recovery from this problem we're dealing with. As soon as we sort of get through with social distancing and get back to work, he believes our economy, the economic fallout from coronavirus, to be more like a major snowstorm than a Great Depression.
Well, I hope he's right.
I hope he's right, too. And at the very least, I'm glad to hear someone putting out some positive information.
Yep. That's a guy who should know.
Mm-hmm.
Former Fed of the Fed, whatever his title is. You just said it. I can't think of it.
Former chairman of the Federal Reserve.
Thank you. Bernanke.
Mm-hmm. The $2 trillion stimulus bill was passed by the Senate. It was unanimous, by the way. So while we can be super partisan, and we've seen that, in fact, very recently with the, the impeachment. What we were able to see now is somehow they can work together when necessary. So this $2 trillion stimulus.
Yeah.
Which is...
Where's that money coming from? Am I the only one who's going to ask that? I just feel like everyone's talking about it. I'm like, so they just print new money? It seems... I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. They're having a hard time coming up with $8 billion for this guy's wall, but suddenly $2 trillion is, I'm like, okay.
Goes back to emergency. It's emergency relief. And
great.
And it has to happen. And so wherever it comes from, and
from our grandchildren.
We all pay taxes and
mm-hmm. we sure do.
And it's an absolute. So who does this come from? This comes from us.
Yeah.
That's who this comes from. Anyway, this is going to give $1,200 to adults and $500 to children in households that make less than $75,000 a year for individuals or $150,000 a year for couples. You'll still get, if you're pulling in $150,000 a year, you can still get that $1,200 cash for adults and $500 for children. The money won't arrive in time to pay the rent or mortgage due. What are we looking at the end of the month here?
Yeah.
But you do have money coming to you. So whether that's, I don't know how they'll do that. Is that become something you get back in your tax return? Or are they sending checks? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know either. The cutoff, though, is I think if you make more than $99,000 a year, you don't get any.
Right.
There's a cutoff. And there should be. I mean, that it seems like this relief needs to go where it's most needed.
I couldn't agree more, and I don't... right now, I don't need that. I'm not.
Although I haven't looked at my stocks, I might actually need that.
Well, you're not going to get it. I'm pretty sure you're not getting it either.
I'm pretty sure.
I got a couple more lighthearted stories, if I could.
Sure.
A guy in Mexico who was self-isolating attached a note and some money to his Chihuahua's collar and sent him to the store for Cheetos. And apparently it worked. And I don't know if the video's out there. You may have time to search for this, but...
The dog did it?
The dog did it. So, you know, there are dogs out there who... If you take a regular walk to the market...
Yeah.
And they know the person there, or somehow you're able to, you know, name associate where you want them to be, maybe they were able to... I don't know how that worked, but it sounds fun. Like seeing a dog... With
yeah.
Cheetos attached to it, walking
right.
down the street. That's pretty cute.
It's adorable. And we need adorable things right now.
Right. One other story. Oh, addiction. It's hysterical. Guy in the Maldives, whatever. Mm. I've heard it both. It's tomato,
there must
tomato.
Be. Somebody look that up. What is the actual? Because I have heard it both ways, too, multiple times.
A guy in the Maldives was arrested for leaving a resort, swimming to another one so he could buy cigarettes because the resort he was at was out.
Oh.
And I just thought, there it is. Cigarettes are that important. When you're addicted to cigarettes,
uh-huh.
you'll do what you need to do to get them.
Yes, you will.
And I
Look,
bet
the
you.
The water's lovely here. I'll just float over there and get my ciggies and...
Maldives.
Great. I guess as they were cuffing him, he had a cig in his mouth and was saying to them and anyone who wanted to listen, it was totally worth it. I had to have it.
Right.
Had to.
Yeah.
Oh,
I had to spread whatever I've got. That's,
well.
Addiction is... It's a thing.
Did you ever, I know you smoked, I definitely smoked. I haven't smoked in many, I quit in, I think, 06.
Oh, had you quit by the time you came back here?
Yeah, I told you, I quit.
Oh, that's right, you tied on your shoes.
Specifically in Oregon because I had a zero stress life, zero.
Mm.
No, not one thing stressed me out ever. And I realized if I'm going to quit, it has to be here because... Anyone who knows this and who's gone through this, and I imagine you can amen this statement, which is, you know, when you've got stuff going on, quitting your addiction is impossible.
Because you use it as your excuse to, you know, oh, God, it's so sad. You know what? I got to have a cigarette. I
got to have a grit. Right.
I got to have it. Yeah.
So
when your life
I knew
is easy.
that was the way I was going to get it done. And I know that life doesn't stay that slow. So I did it then. And it worked out. But my question is, were you ever so brand conscious that you would, if a store was out of your brand, would you go to another store or would you just buy Siggy's? Whatever. Give me the other brand.
You know, I smoked Marlboros, so they were never out. But
always honestly, readily available.
Yes, I think that yes, I could have bought a pack of Winstons. I don't know. Is that the equivalent?
I don't know. I mean, I know that I was pretty brand, you know.
Yeah.
But I did smoke Winstons. I smoked Marlboros and the light version.
What was the one you were smoking there at the end, though? Those natural, quote unquote.
What were they called?
They're the one. They have like sort of, you know, sort of Aztec looking designs on the not lucky. They're
American Spirits.
American Spirit. Yes! There it is. Jesus.
Yes, that's what I smoked at the end. The yellow American Spirits.
Yeah. Would you have gone for a different pack?
Yeah, in fact, there at the end, I was all about those American Spirits. I had to have that particular brand and wanted that.
Right. But if they didn't have them, you'd just grab whatever was there.
Well, sure. I mean, I didn't want to ever be seen with a 100.
Oh, right. Virginia Slim. You've come a long way, baby.
The longer brands, I wasn't interested. But yeah, I mean, that's addiction. I probably would have smoked whatever was necessary. I definitely rebuilt cigarettes I broke in half when I was quitting and Jesus, be like, oh, my God, I'm never going to smoke again. Throw them away. And then I'd fish them out of the trash and put them back together.
You do what you got to do, Vin.
Have you ever done that?
Yeah, sure.
Of course, right.
Of course. Are you kidding me? I've picked up other people's butts off a parking lot and with lipstick on them and went, well, I'm going to do this.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Addiction is awesome. Yep. It's true.
How about a fast fact?
I love fast facts.
Fast facts. Fact, fact, fact,
fact. In the early 1900s, before alarm clocks were popular, people in England would hire people to knock on their windows with a pole to wake them up.
Oh. Well, how could they be sure that person was going to wake up?
Well, that's not their job.
Oh, just, you know, if you don't wake me up, you don't get paid.
Right.
Yeah, time and clocks, and I never really spent, you know, I've got all kinds of time now. I guess I'll spend some time thinking about that today.
Well,
but
you know what
I guess it was just when the sun came up, right?
So no offense to, look, I get it. The gig economy has people out there working for Uber and Lyft, and these companies have provided you a way to make some cash, and whether or not they're treating you right, I don't know. But it is a business that's built to go away or to shift to no employees.
Right.
And so I read that, the poll, you know, using a poll to wake people up and just thought, oh, man, that's the Uber drivers, right? As soon as those cars can go automated, that job goes away.
There's a lot of jobs that are going to, you know, this whole self-driving thing, while I'm like excited about it and I think, oh, that'll be great and I can just sleep on my way to work or whatever. it's gonna take a lot of jobs away, not just, you know, Uber drivers, but you know, trucking jobs and delivery jobs and a lot of things that are kind of essential now won't be anymore. It's scary, actually.
I hate to think that the trucks will be automated, because I believe you need someone at the very least to be in the truck with the goods that need to get to market.
Right.
But we'll see how that evolves.
Put on the chains if they're going over the pass, or, you know, slam on the brakes if some idiot cuts them. I'm with you.
One last one.
Yep.
The first prize Bob Barker ever announced on The Price is Right, when it started in 1972, was a fur coat.
Really? Boy, that wouldn't go over now, would it?
The actual, well, he's a guy
who
very much later in his life became all about animals, right?
Spay and neuter and,
right,
and shelter and adopt a pet. And yeah, he was a big animal advocate.
So Sarah Clark, what is the actual retail price of this full length fur coat?
What kind of fur is it?
1972.
Is it rabbit fur or is it?
I don't have the brand of animal, but they did.
$1,200.
Skin. No, it was $595.
Well,
you would have gone over and you would have lost.
I would
have. The person who bid $350 won.
Oh.
She got that fur coat back in 1972. The first Bob Barker prize announcement. A fur coat!
All right. Woo!
Oh, Sarah Clark, so sorry.
That went over.
What's coming up in the trash?
Oh, let me look. First of all, I'm not ready for this.
Boy, do I know that feeling.
Oh, boy. I'm like, I don't even know where to look. Where do I look here?
Me right now.
I've got a Michelle Obama story we'll start with. I actually sort of got just a bunch of celebrities. I've like Kanye West is calling the hoodie the most important piece of apparel from the last decade and more after these.
Sarah and Vinny. Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.